I'll take that as a yes. This week marks the one-year anniversary of the deaths of Monica Kwan, Keith Lawrence, Riverside Police Officer Michael Crane, and San Bernardino Sheriff's County Deputy Jeremiah McKay. My condolences and my heartfelt sorrow go out to their family and friends. Monica and Keith were just at the beginning of their lives. Their lives were cut short by a man who had no soul. Officer Crane and Deputy McKay died as heroes, in sharp contrast to the coward that killed them. Today, the Police Commission adopted my recommendations and findings in two related officer-involved shootings. The first occurred in Corona on February 7th, 2013. Two Los Angeles police officers were ambushed when they happened upon the suspect while en route to a protection detail in an area normally patrolled by the Riverside County Sheriff's Department. The officers returned fire, but were unable to pursue due to the extreme damage to their police vehicle. This shooting and the tactics leading to it has been found to be in policy. The second shooting occurred shortly after in Torrance, when a squad of officers assigned to a protection detail tragically mistook two uninvolved civilians for the suspect at large. The use of force in this incident has been found to be out of policy for all eight officers involved. While I certainly empathize and understand the conditions and circumstances that led to this particular officer-involved shooting, I hold our police officers to the highest standards in the application of deadly force. The details of both the rationales for these incidents will be made available through the Police Commission offices. And with that, I'll take some questions.
Chief, the standard by which you use to determine whether or not a shooting is in policy, can you talk about that and how you see the departure in this case from that standard?
Well, the reasonable officer standard. Would a reasonable officer with similar training and experience have perceived a deadly threat that required a response? And I absolutely believe that the officers involved in this shooting were truthful about what they felt, truthful about what they believed that they saw. But I also think that some of the things that they perceived were unreasonable in the application as it goes to a reasonable officer.
Chief, can you speak to the point that's been reported about an internal panel with which you differed? Is that true? Did that happen? Is that the way it works?
Well, there are a number of steps in the use of force process, and one of them is the use of force review board, who makes recommendations to the chief of police, who makes the final finding. It is not typical, but it's certainly not unusual that we differ. The finding of the chief of police is the finding of the Los Angeles Police Department, and when that finding is upheld by the police commission, that is the official response.
Chief, what will be the disciplinary action?
You know, as you all are very aware, state law prevents me from describing particular discipline as it's applied to each officer. I will say that discipline could be anywhere from extensive retraining up to termination.
Have they continued their duties normally since then?
All officers involved have been assigned to non-field duties since this event occurred.
Will that continue?
You know, I'm not going to discuss the discipline aspect of that, for a number of reasons. So it will be inappropriate for me to talk about their futures at this point.
Chief, earlier you said you empathized with the officers. Could you elaborate on that, what the situation was?
Sure.
That led them to reach that conclusion?
You know, this was a tragic cascade of circumstance that led to an inaccurate conclusion by the officers. As you all know, the murder of the Riverside officer had occurred at about early morning hours, about 0100 or so. The whole region was intimately aware of that. The description of Dorner's truck had been out for a number of hours in two iterations. It was initially described as blue, and then the most recent, prior to the shooting, description had been of a gray Nissan Titan. The license plate had been given out that was attached to the Titan. The license plate started with the number 8 and the letter D, and then a series of numbers after that. The officers were stationed at a very high-profile target, one of the captains who had been on the Board of Rights that terminated this individual, so it was a very likely target. The officers had been given information that the captain's wife had seen Dorner in the neighborhood very recently and that he appeared to be casing the location. Immediately prior to the shooting, the officers got information over the police radio that a citizen had reported sighting Dorner on the 105 freeway getting off at Sepulveda, which is immediately adjacent to this location. Following that information, the officer saw a pickup truck, albeit a blue Toyota pickup truck, going slowly down the street that they were posted on with its high beams and flashers on, various descriptions of that, and pulling from either to the curb and to the center line, to the curb and to the center line, and immediately preceding the shooting, a newspaper had been thrown out of the vehicle, what turned out to be a newspaper and thrown out of the vehicle, and one of the officers mistook the sound of it hitting the pavement for a gunshot. Those were the circumstances that preceding the shooting. I sympathize with the officers, but I have a very high standard for the application of deadly force, and the shooting did not meet that standard.
Chief, what about the larger lessons from this aberrant case about other situations that came close to to weapons being fired and the kind of razor thin margin that was throughout the city? Are there lessons that you want to?
Well, part of the lesson is that we hold officers to the highest standards, and that when those standards aren't met, we are transparent about it, we discuss it in public, unlike many places, and we try to learn from it. These officers will all, and have all, received extensive training, as has the whole Los Angeles Police Department relative to these type of issues. The real lesson learned is this, though. The real lesson learned to me is that it is so important in this society, because of the trust that we place in police officers, that we pick the right people. In this instance, we terminated an individual from the Los Angeles Police Department during his probationary period. And 4 years later, he comes back to haunt us all. So the real lesson learned is that there is nothing more important than who we select to protect our families and our way of life.
Chief, after the so-called manifesto came to light, you talked about doing a review of the disciplinary process.
Yes.
What's the status of that?
You know, we have done it in two parts. We did a complete review of Dorner's firing and found it to be not only reasonable but just. That was already been made public. The second piece was called 10,000 Volts. It was the interviews of hundreds of Los Angeles police officers relative to their perception of disciplines, trying to understand how they perceived the system and what suggestions they had for it. That report will be made public in about a month. Over 70 recommendations came forth from Los Angeles police officers relative to the discipline process. Some of them have been implemented, some of them may be implemented, and some of them I have decided against, but all that will be made public in a month or so.
Can you give us an indication as to whether it will be significant changes in the disciplinary process?
You know, I think that the changes in the process are, because the process is so tightly controlled by statute, large changes are difficult to make. But there are some changes that I think that the people involved will see as significant. although to the general public they may appear minor, but you know, when you live in the house, the moving of one wall is significant.
And you have the cooperation of the police officers union?
You know, the Police Protective League and the Command Officers Association have been everything, including cooperative, in all of these ventures. You know, we view this police department as a family, and these things are very important to us in the maintenance of that family. Anything else?
Chief, during the shooting in Corona, you said that there was a challenge from your LAPD officers to communicate with surrounding departments. What has been done to improve communication throughout the different departments since?
Well, you know, this is not just an LAPD issue. This is a national issue. You know, interoperability is a long sought after goal in police agencies that has not been achieved. We work and are working through the LA RICS project to leverage federal money to open an interoperable system within LA County. You know, this is still something that is some time away. These are great challenges. You know, particularly in the county of Riverside, that is so far from Los Angeles. The reality is that until the officers get on scene at location and are able to get one of the other entities' radios, it's very difficult. And remember, these officers were en route. They had no planned police action. The coincidence in that shooting is remarkable. I mean, this is a multi-county area of tens of thousands of square miles. And what are the chances that a lone LAPD unit en route to a remote, low-priority target would run across Dorner and then be ambushed by him? You know, it just shows you how random and how delicate life can be. All right, thank you all very much. Thank you for your coverage and your support.